Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. Stop crime before it happens and help make your neighborhood safer with Ring. Go to ring.com/allaboutandroid and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit. And by FreshBooks, the easy-to-use cloud accounting software for small business owners. Make 2018 your most productive year yet. Try it free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/AAA. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/android. Welcome to All About Android, episode 353, recorded on Tuesday, January 23rd, 2018. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Florence Ion.
How's it going, Flo?
I just want to note that before the show today, we did try some Oreos and that they've already been promptly returned.
Yeah. They've returned.
They were lemon Oreos.
They were lemon.
You can see the results of that at the end.
Although you really should take the overhead shot. Because this is
clearly
how
they were really, really.
This is how they were
not
shipped.
People were not.
I feel like what we're seeing here is that the Cookie Monster is actually hanging out in the kitchen and went to town. Whoever the Cookie Monster may be, we've got him in the kitchen.
You know who also we have in town virtually?
Yes, if the town is Singapore,
yeah,
Matteo Doni joining us from the other side of the world. How's it going, Matteo?
Very well, thanks. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being on all the way from Singapore.
I know. What's it like there? What time is it?
It's just after 9 a.m. here in Singapore, so I'm bringing you even more tomorrow.
Excellent. Wow. Even more future coming from Matteo. More than normal. Have you drank your coffee yet?
I am drinking, but I'm in Asia, so I'm having a milky tea.
Oh, yummy.
A milky tea.
Oh, yummy. That sounds good. I love a milky tea.
It's very tasty from the tea hot shop downstairs.
Now, if I've cut coffee out of my diet, does that mean that I can drink milky tea? Well, I've also cut dairy, so I guess that means I can't.
Oh, but there's dairy alternatives.
Okay. I guess the tea, does it have caffeine in it?
As far as I know, it has caffeine, but also something called tein, which is a other chemical similar to caffeine, but slightly gentler on your body.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
all right.
Interesting.
I still have no idea whether I could actually drink that right now or not. But I'm happy that you're taking one for the team. And Matteo, it's always awesome to get you on coolsmartphone.com. Ron's not here today, of course. He is apparently on vacation. He's vacationing.
I know.
Having a good time, I hope.
I know. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Yes. I mean, we're very happy for you, Ron. We're glad you're getting
you.
A break. Much needed. You work hard.
Can't wait until we get our chance to take a vacation. We're looking forward to that. Hey, this week we've got a lot to talk about. We'll be discussing the, I would say, hopeful life of Android Pie. See what I did there? Life of Android Pie. Google Fi bill protection. Huawei Honor View 10. We'll have a review from Matteo on that. The Samsung Go mic for smartphones.
It's a lavalier mic. I thought it was cool.
A whole bunch of your emails and a whole lot more. Before we get to all that stuff, or rather, to segue to that stuff, it's time for the news, Victor.
Unlike Jason, Android News got a steady diet of Android News.
I can eat Android News. I just can't eat sugar, dairy.
So you can't eat
coffee.
Android News because that's exactly. Hello, they're named after desserts, Jason.
Oh.
The whole point of Android is
not
to consume.
The news isn't.
But it's still made of sugar,
like stuff.
Dairy, probably some caffeine in the cocoa that's
All
being
right.
used.
All right, fine. Well, I won't be able to eat pie, that's for sure, at least not for the next 10 days.
You can't eat it anyway.
Guess what? That's what I mean.
Because
Google already has Android P. The letter P references flying through its repositories, which is no surprise. However, XDA Editor-in-Chief Michelle Rahman noticed a few files, anyways, that show references to Android pi, as in the number, pi.
3.14, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. into infinity and beyond. And that got me thinking. I have a theory. I tweeted it out, but I'll go ahead and restate
theory,
it here.
Here we go.
Last year, Android O Alpha, if you remember, it launched really early. The alpha preview launched, was released, first released on March 21st. Pi is 3.14. Mm-hmm. Pi Day, where we celebrate Pi for some silly reason, is March 14th, which is really close to March 21st. Therefore, do you think we're going to see Android Pi Alpha on March 14th? Do you think Google's gone this far to tell us what their plans are? What do you think, Matteo?
I think this is a very nice tease. It's very early in the day. I'm quite amused by this because it's not the first time we've heard Pi as the name or potential name of a software release from Google. So if you remember, what then became KitKat was referenced to as Key Lime Pi.
Oh,
Lime
yeah,
Pi.
That's right.
And this may just be me looking at two cases and then thinking that maybe Google internally refer to Android releases as three-barreled words. That we also had, as well as Key Lime Pie, we also had New York Cheesecake for Nougat for a while in Google repositories. So who knows? Google have got good at teasing us. I believe at Google I.O. last year, they were handing you bottles of Orangina, Oreos, and oranges
in our interview even.
Yeah, in our interview Oreos were there, and that's what it ended up being. So and I think prior to that I just kind of always assumed if they were ever teasing something, that's not actually what it's going to be, but this time they kind of proved us wrong.
And it is pi, it is 3.14,
right?
So but it seems too soon. It seems too soon.
Feels too soon, but I mean it felt too soon on March 24th or 21st when the Android O came out.
I suppose it's true.
I mean, it's the alpha. Yeah, of course, it's too soon for the release. The official release happened late last year, but the alpha comes out so much earlier, and that maybe that's the precedent that they set last year. So
that's true.
So suddenly, in a couple of months, we're going to be talking about all the features that we, you know, are starting to see out of the new version. Which you're right, it does feel a little soon.
Well, it is a little soon, especially with this next news item, which is that Android 8.1, which I think we can safely say a lot of people are still not on.
Yeah, it feels a little soon because most people don't even have the current version.
Yes. But yeah, if you have the current version of Android 8.1, there's a new feature that's useful for checking the health of Wi-Fi access points before you connect. So Wi-Fi, those access points, they will show one of the following, whether it's very fast, okay, or slow. Slow will be fine for things like text messaging, Wi-Fi calling, basically what you would do with an app like WhatsApp, which is low latency and allows you to do that sort of thing. Okay is fine for browsing or streaming music. So if you need to listen to Spotify and you're in the mountains, if there's Wi-Fi in the mountains, that's amazing. So thank you to Lumberjack Joe for offering that for the rest of us.
No kidding.
While fast is fine for videos, and very fast is for high-quality videos for that crispy 4K content. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, I learned crispy is a word people call 4K. I just learned this, like, yesterday.
Yeah, crisp. Sharp.
Crispy.
Yeah, crispy and sharp.
So.
Yeah, that's cool. Chicken. I mean, you see a Wi-Fi access point. Nice to have a little bit of extra information there. Some people might be concerned with the data or the information that's kind of tied to that. And thankfully, apparently with 8.1, the administrators will be able to control that. So if someone has a Wi-Fi access point and they don't want it to telegraph, you know, the speed or the health of the connection, they can choose to not have that be done for whatever reason. But as a user, it's really nice to know that when you're connecting, I suppose.
Versus connecting to a little symbol that's only half filled and realizing that none of your dreams are coming true on that Wi-Fi network.
Yeah.
No dreams are happening.
No.
None.
Are dreams happening for you, Matteo, or are you fading away? Because I see there's a connection error underneath your face, and I'm worried.
My Wi-Fi connection is ironically low at the moment, but my speed is very high. Who knows what's happening?
You need Android 8.1 to tell you about the health of your Wi-Fi is what you need.
If you were on the current version, which...
So I take it that from Petaluma, I'm not crispy.
Actually, you're looking pretty crispy now. It went away. It's like it knew we were talking about it, and it decided to change course. So I think you're good. Google Fi, or Project Fi, rather, has some new changes. And I actually think I might jump on the Fi bandwagon. I think I'm going to officially do that.
It is time.
Basically, it's an unlimited plan for $80. As you know, with Project Fi, you know, it's not a single price plan. You pay $20 for unlimited calls and texts, and then $10 per gigabyte of data. You pay more or less for the data that you use, and then at the end of the month, I think they do some math to kind of give you back what you didn't use or fold that into the next month. I'm not entirely sure how that works specifically, but something along those lines. But before this change, before this bill protection was in place, you would $80 would get you 6 gigs. Because $10 per gig on top of the baseline. And then if you continued going on with more gigs of data, you'd continue being charged $10. Well, now they're capping that at 80. So once you get to 80, you have you're not paid per gigabyte anymore. You might be throttled on some of the speed. I guess up to 15 gigs total before you're throttled to unlimited data. If you don't want that throttling after 15 gigs, you can just pay the $10 per gigabyte for unthrottled use and get it unencumbered. But, I mean, that's 15 gigs. Like, I was looking at my own T-Mobile data usage. I think I get around, like, a gig or two a month, which is crazy low. Because I'm always connected to I'm always connected to Wi-Fi.
How do you live?
It's just
my
it's
husband
just
alone has 6 gigs just for his phone.
And but does he do a lot of driving, a lot of traveling around the Bay Area?
There's a lot of Instagram.
A lot of Instagram. Is he not always connected to Wi-Fi? Like, I feel like I'm always connected to Wi-Fi.
It's always good to have that extra backup just in case you need to, like, I don't know, do something on the run and you just have to tether and you have to have that extra bit. Plus, we're on Big Red, so, you know.
Yep. I used to be on Big Red. What is your carrier, Mateo? How do they work this, you know, compared to the U.S. carriers?
Yeah, so I'm a customer of a network called Three UK, which is part of the Hutchison Whampoa group of networks around the world. It's actually a Project Fi partner when it comes to roaming. So if you come to the UK with Project Fi, you'll be roaming on Three's 3 and 4G networks here in the UK. Well, back home in the UK. So I use Three because of their travel feature. So they have a feature called Feel at Home, which means that as well as in the European Union, in select markets around the world, I pay no roaming charges whatsoever. I use my allowances just the same as if I were at home. So Singapore, luckily, is one of those places. Hong Kong, Australia, New Zealand, a whole selection of countries, including the US, are part of this. So when traveling, sometimes that's a decider. If I find cheap flights online, one of the things I'll say is, well, when I get there, do I need to buy a SIM card? If it's part of Three at Home, it will be one of the decisions that makes me say, well, I'll go there because I don't have the extra cost of buying a new SIM card when I arrive.
And when you have to buy a new SIM card when you arrive, how much does that run you? Generally, typically?
It depends on the market. So T-Mobile in the US has a very good deal for tourists now. I believe it's $30 for 2 gigabytes of data and a reasonable amount of minutes and texts, which is great for local usage. Here in Singapore, I've resisted purchasing a SIM card because I have a really good connection with Three here. But they are doing very good 10-day tourist SIM cards here in Singapore with 100 gigabytes of data that lasts 10 days and roaming in select countries in the region. So if you go to Indonesia, Thailand, you get your roaming in the region included, which is a very good deal.
100 gigs of data? Who uses 100 gigs of data in 10 days? Like, how do you do that?
Crispy video.
I guess so. The crispiest of video.
I usually pay like $30 a SIM card every time I leave the country because, again, I'm on Big Red and I have any international plan.
Right.
But I have five bars always, all the time here.
And then is your video pretty crispy when you travel?
I don't technically. I usually go into data saver mode.
Oh, okay.
I cut down on...
That's a little preview. We're going to be talking a little bit about data saver mode later. If your ears just went, what is data saver mode? stand by, because we'll dive into that a little bit more in a bit.
After we dive into more fun news.
Fun news if you really enjoy getting your credit card information stolen.
Yeah, this is a bummer. So OnePlus, you may have heard last week, there was a news story going around that OnePlus had confirmed up to 40,000 customers' credit card info had been stolen through a security breach. 40,000 customer accounts. A malicious script captured data between mid-November and January 11th. So mid-November of 2017 to January 11th of this year, which means that if you were part of the crowd of people who purchased perhaps a 5T because, heck, it was such a great buy.
That's what I got right here. It's a great phone.
You might be concerned. OnePlus has reached out to those affected customers, so you should know if you were affected. But if you paid with PayPal or an already saved credit card, you should be fine. So that's usually what I try to do now these days. I used to curse the day that PayPal was put together in the depths of the Silicon Valley, but now that I do a majority of my transactions, now that I'm a freelancer and that's how people pay, mm-hmm. like PayPal has really become a part of my, another bank for me. It's essentially my online bank now.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've never, only very recently have I begun to think of PayPal in the way that apparently everybody has been for a long time, which is as a layer of security. I've never thought of it like
that. I always thought of it as an inconvenience.
Yeah, but then, me too.
But now I see these credit card breaches happening and I think to myself, well, maybe, and this is how they get you. Maybe I do need that extra bit, so I should have an account through them mm-hmm. in that sort of thing. So I should maintain that account because then in the case of this happening, I have some sort of consumer protection I maybe don't get from my bank.
Yeah. I mean, it's this way for that. It's also, you know, kind of a similar conversation to be had around like Android Pay and using your mobile payments instead of handing over a credit card. I've just never really thought of PayPal in those terms. But more and more, it kind of seems like that's a pretty smart thing to do to protect yourself in these ways. Except for the moment if and when PayPal gets breached, and then I guess you've got that. But at least it's that one. If that's fed into everything and that hasn't happened, then everything is not really affecting you as closely as it would if you had your credit card in all these different places. Mateo, you look like you got something on this.
I'm just giggling here because had Ron been with us your evening, my morning, he'd now be asking for the counter on OnePlus faux pas to be reset.
He would. You're right. And actually, Ron could have been the author of this article on How To Geek that was actually written by friend of the show Cameron Summerson, who says with the headline, "It's time to stop buying phones from OnePlus." It's actually a really interesting breakdown of just all the missteps. This is basically the article that summarizes the All About Android OnePlus countdown ticker to the next day that OnePlus messes something up, and in detail just kind of lists moment after moment of misstep. So, you know, make the decision for yourself. I mean, he makes the case that a company that makes this many bad decisions and puts their customers' data at risk and has such a cavalier approach about it probably shouldn't be trusted with your business. This is, you know, I'm roughly summarizing what Cameron says in his article. So I think everybody has to kind of make that decision for themselves. Not all cell phone, you know, manufacturers are any better. some are worse. But I don't know.
Maybe they should use PayPal.
Yeah.
Maybe you should be like, you have to use PayPal. Otherwise,
the answer to all of OnePlus's nightmares.
I mean, PayPal has a nice little like online cart thing. A lot of Etsy people use it. I'm just saying there are things out there. There are tools.
So how do you feel about this, Mateo?
I'm quite saddened by it. I personally quite like OnePlus as a company just because they have this sort of get stuff done in a startup manner, get products to markets, fail forward. They do recognize their failures and tends to not make the same mistake too many times. So I think from a business standpoint, I admire what they're doing and the fact that they're taking risks. But when it comes to credit card details, it's quite disappointing. So I think this would be a great case for them to integrate not just credit card payments, but something like Android Pay or WeChat or Alipay. PayPal isn't the only online payment service, and OnePlus is a global company. It would be good to see them diversify the payment options on the OnePlus website. I was quite worried. I've purchased a few OnePlus devices in my own time, but I shouldn't be affected by this latest issue.
I mean, that's a considerable amount of time, like that window. The peak holiday shopping season. If you went to their website and plugged in, manually typed in your credit card account information, it's highly likely, based on what they said, that that credit card information was then stolen. So, and people have seen, you know, errant charges appearing on their statements and everything. Not a good look, unfortunately, for OnePlus. Yet another lesson learned the hard way. Which seems to repeatedly be the case with OnePlus.
You know, life is full of a journey.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
You really never know who's going to take your credit card data.
That's how it goes.
Is it a bit like a box of crushed dreams and Oreos?
Yes.
It's true.
It is. Life is like a box of crushed lemon Oreos. It's so true. All right, let's take a break. We'll thank the sponsor of this episode, and then we'll get into some hardware. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. I have a Ring at home. I actually just got the new Ring 2, by the way, kind of the upgraded. It's meant to be more battery powered because we don't have power feeding into our doorbell, and it has the removable battery, and it has an upgraded camera, and I am over the moon as far as the quality of the video. Things just look sharper and better. Talk about crispy video. Things look crispy. Ring's mission is to make neighborhoods safer, and the Ring Video Doorbell lets you see and speak to intruders on your smartphone from anywhere. You can even share video clips with neighbors using the Ring app. Ring's floodlight and spotlight cam let you build a ring of security around your entire property. And just like Ring's video doorbell, floodlight cam is a motion-activated camera and floodlight that actually connects to your phone. It all connects into your phone. With high-visibility floodlights, HD video, and two-way audio, it lets you know the moment anyone steps on your property. You can see and speak to visitors, even set off an alarm right from your phone. Things are getting hairy. You just set off that alarm. That'll spook them. When things go bump in the night, you'll immediately know what it is. Ring floodlight cams offer the ultimate in home security. Thieves just can't hide when you've got a Ring installed. Monitor every corner of your property with a Ring of Security kit, which includes a Ring video doorbell and your choice of either 1, 2, or 3 floodlight cams so you can get nice coverage on your home. And connect your Ring video doorbell with your favorite smart locks and hubs for added convenience, monitoring, and security. Stop crime before it happens and help make your neighborhood safer with Ring. You can save up to $150 on a Ring of Security kit. All you have to do is go to ring.com/allaboutandroid. All one word, that's ring.com/allaboutandroid. And we thank Ring for their support of this show and the Twit Network. All that footage being captured. Also helped me catch the kid that was stealing all the Halloween candy from our front step. I know who you are, kid. Actually, I don't know who it was, but I saw it happen, and we replayed it a few times, and it was hilarious. At least it was good for a laugh. Hey, it was a bowl of candy. How mad can you really get about a bowl of candy being taken? Anyways, thank you, Ring. All right, it's time for a little bit of hardware. Boom. Mateo has the Huawei Honor View 10. Tell us a little bit about it. What's up with the Honor View 10?
So the Honor View 10 is the new flagship from Huawei's brand Honor. They mixed up their branding a bit this year and tidied up the letters in front of numbers and made it clear that the Honor View 10 is the device that will have the bigger screen and slightly better cameras in their yearly release cycle, whereas the traditional Honor 9 or the number preceding it will come earlier in the year and will be a smaller, more manageable handset. So the Honor View 10 comes in with a very good spec sheet all around. It has a 5.99-inch Full HD Plus screen. So Full HD Plus means that it's the new 18:9 or 2:1 aspect ratio. It has a dual camera on the back, which is 16 megapixel and 20 megapixel, one color, one monochrome sensor, just the same as on the Huawei P10, the 2017 flagship from Huawei. It has 6 gigabytes of RAM. The model I have has 128 gigabytes of storage, and it's powered by the same HiSilicon Kirin chipset that we saw in the Huawei Mate 10, which is the Huawei, it's the HiSilicon Kirin 970 with an integrated NPU or AI chip. And it's powered by a reasonably large 3,750 milliamp hour battery. So all round, good specs, building upon some of the components that we saw in the Mate 10. It has a lower resolution screen, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's perfectly usable. Sunlight visibility is very good, as I've been testing over the last couple of weeks. And it's a very pleasant device to use. It's running Android 8 built on top of with MUI 8's user experience, which brings in a lot of AI across the device for battery saving and the camera and so forth. And I've been using this device for a few weeks, especially while traveling here in Asia, both in Singapore and Indonesia. And I'm really enjoying it. The camera is, to me, stands out as a great camera for day-to-day use. Just point-and-shoot works. There is some issues in low light because there's no optical image stabilization in the camera, but it's really, really nice to use. So I've published on Uncool Smartphone, I've published sample galleries, so a selection of pictures that, for example, is a lychee McDonald's ice cream.
Lychee.
It's essentially really everything Jason can't eat at the moment.
I want to eat that right now. Sorry,
but yes,
yes, the picture looks really good too.
So the picture is very good. That's just point and shoot, and in these are all images which haven't been processed, just straight from the camera and put out. And so you can see that in day to day use, it's a very good camera. What it excels in is automatically setting the settings on the scene. So the AI chip, the NPU in the chipset, paired with MUI, recognizes the image and sets the settings for the camera automatically.
Oh, that's
so this
nice.
Is a low light picture I just pointed and shot in the airport lounge here in Singapore. Someone serving himself a drink, but it did a very good job of adjusting the white balance and setting things to low light and taking multiple pictures before putting them together.
That's a really good application of artificial intelligence, knowing that there's a dedicated AI chip on the device and putting it to work with pictures. I mean, there's a million different ways you can go with that, but I would love for my camera to be smarter. If it knows based on looking at the scene that it needs to make these changes to the settings, you know, the ISO or whatever, to make that particular image, that challenging image, look better, I would want that. And if AI is smart enough to make that happen, that's a great application for it. I like that.
That picture that you just showed us looked very pixelish, or at least like the composition of it, the way that I would imagine a pixel would string together.
Yes.
An image in a bar.
Yeah, it's...
It's a very good camera for point and shoot. I have to say, it's not as good as the Pixel 2 XL in handheld situations in low light.
Mm.
But for the price category, let's remember this is a device which is, I believe, around about $500 or $499 in the US. It's £449 in the UK. It's right in the same ballpark as the OnePlus 5T. And in my experience, the camera is truly a big feature of the Honor View 10. It does a good job of that, of the camera. Huawei are known for having worked on the software in their cameras over the last few years. They were arguably one of the first companies to do dual camera setups back in 2014, 2015. And so they have a lot of camera smarts. The night mode in the Huawei cameras does long exposure. So if you have a tripod, it takes really stunning pictures
that
in low light.
Great.
That's a 20 or around about 25 second exposure
wow,
on a tripod.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, that looks fantastic.
So I'm considering a career change to be a desktop background photographer using my...
I mean, I made that guy with the Windows XP wallpaper. I mean, it didn't make him a lot of money. He just took a picture of a hill in Napa.
That, whoever that was hit the jackpot.
So if you go to coolsmartphone.com, feel free to download and use those images. They're out there. Just give a shout out to us on Twitter if you like the desktop background. So, yes, I was really impressed with the low-light photography with a tripod. Luckily, I have plenty of time and little tripods that's inexpensive from Amazon. And some of the things you can do with a phone are impressive. As I said, I haven't edited these images. That's what they're like. And the colors are really punchy. They look even better on AMOLED screens with high saturation.
Look at that photo.
Yeah, I've been spending
some really good pictures for those who are listening to the audio portion of the podcast, they're like what are you doing? I am driving and we are sorry about that. It's just we are so entranced by the detail that in Mateo's photos, which you can see at coolsmartphone.com under the Huawei Honor View 10.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, I've had the luxury of a lot of time in the evenings to walk around Singapore. Singapore is a very photogenic, architecturally rich city.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been really lucky to be able to do this with the Honor View 10 and a tripod. I'm really impressed by the results. If in the same page, I believe there's also a gallery of cases where I've taken screenshots of the camera UX, mm-hmm. where it shows you that the AI has recognized the scene, and it gives you a little icon. So it's recognized my cats, it's recognized dogs in the street, it's recognized people and profiles, it's recognized food. Though there are a couple of examples where I've seen that it hasn't recognized things. So you'll see in the bottom right of this image, there's a little person icon. So it recognized our colleague Kevin here in Singapore and put a little person there. And there's another one with my cat. Here in the Skyscanner Singapore office, we had a early Burns lunch/supper the other day. And I found it very amusing that it recognized the plate of food, but it didn't recognize the plate of haggis, Scotland's delicacy. So maybe this Huawei AI chip is more intelligent than we think.
No kidding. Yeah, because who's eating that haggis? Let's be honest. That's not food.
Mateo.
So in the bottom right, there's a little knife and fork.
I love it. And I love that not only did it identify like an animal as a group.
It identified it as
like,
a cat.
Oh, this is the settings that's really good for a cat. Not just
cats need different settings than dogs.
Cats
dogs
are fast.
You have to be are dogs, to be fair.
But cats can move
but look,
quickly.
This example you see it is a dog.
Yeah, so
it's a separate dog.
So in this mode it makes everything a lot cuter and awesomer because dogs are awesome. Right, is what it does.
Both animals have their own positive and negative traits.
The other one, it like gives me a Kleenex because I'm allergic. Does that, right? Does it?
Are you allergic to cats?
Yes, I'm very allergic
to cats. You should get one of those sphinx. They have no hair whatsoever.
Or I'll just get a dog.
The MUI software didn't recognize a monkey whilst I was in Indonesia last week. So that if Victor can show it, there's a few very cute pictures of monkeys in that article. And the screenshot of the UI doesn't recognize monkeys as cats or dogs.
Yet. It did.
I mean, to be fair, how often do you need to worry about shooting a monkey? I mean...
In this world, you just never know.
Indeed. So there's a barber session with monkeys. This was just point and shoot.
It would be amazing though if it would have labeled them as humans.
Yeah. Evolved. Well, that's cool. So it seems like the AI is making some meaningful decisions, and obviously, thankfully, it's giving you the readout to give you a little bit of that
so
extra
confidence.
So you can
see how it's working versus...
see that it's actually doing something.
Oh, it's a nice picture. Well,
right.
That's nice.
I don't know what went into that. Yeah, that's cool.
So I'd say I'm very impressed by the camera and the camera software and hardware combinations. It's the Honor View 10 is a great device. Another thing Huawei have done is taken the UX of the Huawei P10. So the fingerprint scanner at the bottom can replace the soft navigation buttons mm-hmm. that we've seen used on the Android distributions from Huawei. So it's not only a fingerprints reader, it supports gestures. So back, multitasking, and home are all in the one button. So you get that even more screen real estate by taking away the bottom navigation.
I don't want to do that, though.
There is a learning curve, but I've learned to enjoy it.
I don't want to learn that. I already have to learn other stuff.
But Flo, I'm the old one here. You should be find it easier to learn.
I'm a millennial. I'm resistant to change. You know, it's a real like bummer to have you come here with this phone because last week we were just talking about how upset Huawei was almost visibly at CES about the fact that they are not selling phones here in the United States directly to consumers through like a carrier. And I just think, I wonder if that is truly removing consumer choice by not offering a, you know, nice, affordable phone like this, which looks nice.
Yeah,
can't offer that here because of regulations and such.
Yeah, because it's a lot of it's very political.
It is very political.
Very, very charged topic right now.
It is, and it's, the same can be said about Xiaomi as well.
Yes.
There must be some reason that Xiaomi, which is amazingly popular here in Asia, or a company like Oppo, just don't sell phones in the US. I think it would increase competition and make the market more vibrant if there are more options in the US market.
It would make consumers, I feel like it would finally help them realize to see the spectrum of devices and realize like how much their devices cost compared to what everybody else, or rather what other like tech first nations are paying.
Man,
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like what India and China are paying for phones versus what we are, and the fact that their internet usage is just as bustling and loud as ours, but they don't have all this fancy $1,000 hardware. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not
necessary. Yeah, it would be interesting to see what happens to the smartphone market in the US if these challengers end up in the places like the carrier stores side by side with the very expensive ones. And I mean, as we've seen this device, you know, Xiaomi's hardware, it's the design, like the wow appeal when you see it and you have that phone in your hand is very high comparative to the cost of the device. Put that on a shelf where actual US consumers are, and they're making their split decision on what phone they're going to get. I'd be very curious to see how that kind of influences other hardware manufacturers that are also on the shelf there. And I imagine that would mean lowering a price, a raising of quality of the build of the device and the features.
As long as it's marketed properly, because I don't know if our communities are as, I don't know if community works here as much as it does overseas,
right,
just because of what's going on with the internet here right now.
I would also caution, it's a great idea to have those brands in the US, but it's significantly different in terms of how these companies operate as business models. So in Asia, for example, a lot of people trust Huawei's app store or Xiaomi's app store or their network carrier's app store more than they do Google Play or Amazon or Apple. So even Apple in China allow third-party app stores to be installed on their phones and people to install apps from those stores because they know that that's the cultural way people are used to operating
it
in the market.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
obviously if the likes of Xiaomi or Huawei or Oppo move to the US, they wouldn't have that revenue stream, and they would probably have to sell the devices for a higher price. In a way, in Asia, they tend to sell the devices as loss leaders. Because that they know that through services and app purchases and music purchases, they will make their money back there. But still, the fundamental idea of having a more competitive, more open market, I think is a great idea. And I hope that at some point you'll start getting these devices in the US as well. My understanding is that the Honor View 10 will be sold unlocked and SIM-free in the US, but it will be a GSM variant that works on T-Mobile, AT&T. So you're still locking yourself out of operators like Verizon and Sprint, to my understanding.
Yeah, it's okay. It's fine. T-Mobile's fine.
So the Honor... I like thinking of the Honor View 10 as the bigger, better sibling of the Honor 7X that we looked at last time I was on All About Android in studio. And the antenna bands are a bit different, but the physical size is the same. The difference being that it has USB Type-C for charging, but it does have the Courage port. That's the 3.5mm audio jack at the bottom. One of the downsides of the design is that it doesn't have any waterproofing. So things to bear in mind if you're considering buying one, no waterproofing. It does have a 3.5mm audio jack, and you're getting a lot of value for money.
Yeah, and great pictures. Great
I had camera. To convince my mother yesterday, slightly off topic, that her Note 8 was indeed able to go underwater because it's like a foreign concept, the idea of...
I think the first time... Yeah, I think I completely agree. Even I know that, and yet I'm totally
resistant.
She's
like, I'm going to Half Moon Bay. Can I put it in the water? Because who doesn't want to take a picture in the water? Like, that's so cool. Anyway.
Just feels wrong. Feels like you shouldn't be able to
do it. But we should be able to do it, darn it. Because if you can IP68 that, you should be able to IP68 anything.
Yes. Isn't there a song? No, that's not a song.
That's not a song.
Well, should be. Modern song.
You can write it. You are a musician.
That's right. I only write nerdy smartphone songs. Remember a while... Thank you, by the way, Mateo, for talking all about the Honor View 10. That's awesome. And
Mateo,
he
is our global boots on the ground.
That's right. And we appreciate it. So you remember a little while back, I can't remember how long ago it was, but we had an email about how Project Fi devices, there was a a person who had a faulty device, I think it was a Nexus 5X, and he had bought the replacement plan with Project Fi, which he assumed, well, that means that if something happens, I can get it replaced. Well, it turns out that they were offering him something like $53 or something really, really low because there just weren't any more 5Xs to swap it with. So the current market value is this, and you can't even buy a device for $53. So he was very upset, and rightfully so, I would say. I understood anyway. I understood both sides. But anyways, Nexus 5X devices now apparently are covered under the Project Fi deductible to be replaced instead of being replaced with a 5X. They will now be replaced with a Moto X4.
That's how you do it.
Which is, I would say, that's a pretty good swap. This is the Android One Moto X4. So, you know, you're going to get a more efficient processor. That's going to get you better battery life, more RAM. There's actually a micro SD card slot in there, so expandable storage, dual cameras. And because it's Android One, you still get that stock experience. So that's a little bit of good news for anyone on Project Fi that happens to have a 5X. That's going crazy.
All I can think about is Rick Osterloh has never fully left Google. We're now back.
It's true.
Now, Motorola phones into the hands.
It's true. Worked
it's,
out pretty
It's never
going to
stop. The Moto, I don't think Motorola is ever going to go anywhere. I
would like to say it seems to be that it is two different things. So the case we talked about last time I was in studio, the user who had battery problems and was looking for a replacement as part of that scheme is different from the case that we're seeing now with the replacement of the X4, because this is down to a failed software update, a failed operating system update It leaves the device in a boot loop state, so it becomes unusable.
Okay,
not because of wear and tear. It's because of a faulty update. So it's a different case for replacement. But still, good for the consumers who are affected by it.
But okay, sadly. Okay, and thank you for that correction. But what's the difference? If you have a device that is basically inoperable and you have a device that is inoperable because it's in a boot loop state, I mean, you still have the same problem, but you're solving them differently. For this one, we'll give you $54. For this one, we'll give you a brand new phone. Like, why? Yeah. Why? If it's a replacement plan, why not cover them both equally?
Because
I think
you still have to pay for... Sorry, go ahead, Mateo.
Oh, sorry. I think that in this case, Google has a duty to replace it, mainly because the problem was caused by their faulty software update. Yeah. Whereas with the case of the battery, it was normal. It was in normal use, wear and tear on the battery.
Yeah.
For example, if you were to go and buy a set of tires for your car,
yes,
and they burst because of an inherent manufacturing defect caused by the tire manufacturer, that and they actually burst, I'd say that is an issue that where they should replace them. Whereas if they're just used over the course of, say, a year, year and a half, and they wear down, that's a different matter.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point, Mateo. All right, then. Well, then that person, I guess, I got your hopes up for nothing. I'm sorry. Flo, what you got?
I just brought a quick little show and tell. This is all that this is a show and tell. It's just a cool little thing I picked up from CES.
Cool. Cool. Does it have something to do with a microphone?
Yes. This is the Samson Go Mic Mobile Lavalier Wireless System. So this is the mic pack that you would wear on yourself while you're in front of the camera,
okay,
which would probably be your smartphone,
yeah,
because you're supposed to be making video with your smartphone.
Apparently.
So you would clip this on
Sounds
to
like
yourself.
Sounds like a nightmare to me, but okay.
And then you would be like, "Hi, mic. Everybody." And then you put this, clip it to the back of the phone. Plug it in the other way.
Oh, there's your overhead.
That also works.
There we go.
And let me just clear these things. We're back. We're back in business. I would just plug it in, and it's an instant, audio pack. And so you would turn this on, hold it down, turn it on, choose your channel, USB audio out. If you need it, there's USB audio in, USB audio out. So this is going to record to my phone, mm-hmm, and I'm going to use the HiQ recording app, which I actually showed off on the show.
Oh, okay.
A while back, and you can control the volume. You can choose whether it's two channel or mix. And it's fully adjustable. It's really easy to use. I use this at home. And my favorite part, this is my favorite part. It's so insignificant, but also not. There's a built-in screwdriver so that you can control the gain. Oh, my God. That is just so
cute. Of all the features.
Of all the features. I just
the screwdriver.
I love little things. It's like, it's a weird thing about me. And now I have to try and put it back in there. But I like it. I think I'm thinking about sticking with it.
Yeah, so it's basically a wireless audio receiver for your phone. And, I mean, it's a whole setup. So you've got your wireless lav mic. With the pack
you.
For the talent, as they say, in air quotes. And then the receiver that you clip to your phone, bring that audio in, and that's awesome.
This is the box that I've opened. It comes with different cords, different cables. Micro USB for those of you who might be on an older phone. Lightning for those of you who happen to be watching the show and have iPhones. And USB-C, which is what I was using in the Pixel. And it works great. I haven't tried using it with a laptop yet, though. So I haven't tried using it with the Chrome OS yet, but I will try that this week. I'm just kind of playing around with it for my own little at-home, on-the-go setup. It's about $250 on Amazon.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that's not cheap.
It's not, but the quality of the audio is really... I mean, if you're shooting your own video and... This is, I've actually, what I've been doing is I've just been testing some stuff at home,
mm-hmm,
but I've been shooting with my DSLR, turning the audio off,
and then having this
as my audio
syncing
it on Premiere Pro.
Now, one question I have about this, because I'm sure a lot of people would want to do this, is if you've got this channeled into the phone for the audio recording, what was the app name?
Hi-Q.
Hi-Q.
MP3 recording.
Can you also have the camera app open recording video on the same phone, or is it just making the phone a dedicated audio recording device?
So the way it works is if you're doing it with your phone, if you're doing the video with your phone, then the recording would come through your lav mic on the video recording.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So it actually is able to route it like that, and so that
yes.
it's all synced up? That's
yes.
nice.
So I haven't, now full disclosure, I haven't tested it that way, but it is my understanding that that's the way this is actually supposed to work. Because
okay.
I actually had problems setting it up at first because I found out that Hi-Q, unless you put it, apparently it processes all of the audio that it records, which is why my interview sounds so great even when the phone is like halfway across the room, because it's doing, it's a good app. This is why I won the arena with that app. It's a good
app. Just saying.
I think I won. Anyway, it's a good app. But I found out I had to set it to unprocessing the audio so that it would work.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different ways that you can play with it. But the idea is it is an external mic pack for your phone if what you are trying to do with your phone, or maybe this is all you have on you. I'm just trying some things out
That's
at
great.
Home. This is like purely
that.
A show and tell. This is not a review. I just want to show off the things that you can do with your phone.
Yeah.
Like, it is a little, you know, I'm trying to learn all these new content stuff in this world of new content that we are in, and just kind of playing with whatever I can get my hands on.
Well, it's interesting because from, you know, in like broadcast terms,
yeah.
mobile devices as your recording device, be it audio, be it video, as your live streaming device, like on a consumer level, we're very used to that, just doing that with social media and all that kind of stuff. But in the broadcast terms, more and more that's happening where, you know, people are being deployed with their phone and something like this instead of needing a big camera crew or a large camera with a tripod or whatever. So it kind of brings the convenience of that small portable device along with, you know, what we've come to expect from broadcast, which is good quality audio,
right?
Good quality video.
Right.
And, you know, they're creating these tools. So it's becoming more respected. I don't know if it's necessarily the go-to for, you know, a crew, NBC crews or, you know, or
no,
whatever.
No, this is definitely flow-level style journalism here. This is not.
Well, and I think, you know, that the strengthening of the popularity of YouTube and other platforms like that, people are always looking to make, you know, improve their quality of stuff. And this is one way to do that.
Yeah. And I'm just also looking at mics, too, just because the fact is that I am a mobile workstation, so I'm trying to find better mics for recording.
Yeah.
I used to carry a separate recorder, but I actually found that my phone, with how much better the phones have gotten over the years, the microphones have become like just exactly what I need for a convention setup where maybe I'm like in the very back of a giant event and I need to hear everything because I need that recording to refer to later.
Yeah.
That's my backup reporting, right? So it's just,
cool.
It's very exciting new world of phone accessories, and anything else that's interesting, I'll bring in because why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Always got a place for it.
Also, like as far as value, like if you can do this, like hook it up to for DSLR shooters, this actually fills
a
need
gap.
For a lot of them because I think there's a headphone output on it also, right?
Yes, there is. There's a headphone out. There's USB audio out and USB audio. Oh, yeah. And a headphone jack on the side.
So a lot of DSLR shooters, like they film video with DSLRs because it looks very cinematic.
Right.
They'll have the microphone input, but not a headphone output for monitoring.
Oh,
yeah.
So this
monitor
one, like for $250, that actually covers two separate devices that a lot of DSLR shooters have to buy.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, as you're showing here.
I think it comes with that
like it works
cable, by the way,
the
also
DSLR.
In the box. I think it also comes with that aux cable, by the way.
Cool.
So you can do that. I'm still testing this out, so.
Right on.
If you're curious.
Very cool.
I like it. All right, so that's hardware. After this break, we're going to dive into a bunch of your emails. We have a bunch of feedback to read through. But first, let's take a moment to thank the sponsor of this episode, and that is FreshBooks. With the new year, we are in the new year. I hope you've picked your resolutions and are sticking to them some 20 some odd days into January. If you're planning to start a new business this year, or if you're looking for a fresh start with your business accounting, you want to make sure you're on the right track with FreshBooks Cloud Accounting Software. Maybe that's your resolution. You can start right now. Their intuitive dashboard will give you
quick access to your spending, outstanding balances, total profit, and other accounting reports. You'll know how your business is doing at any given moment, and you'll be ahead of the game during tax season, which is a nice bonus. With FreshBooks, you can send professional-looking invoices in seconds, save time accepting credit cards online, and get paid an average of 2 times faster. No more chasing clients for payments or waiting in line at the bank. You can accept credit card payment directly from your invoice that you send out. You can see what invoices have been sent, what invoices have been viewed, paid, as well as overdue and outstanding invoice totals. And you can now create proposals with rich text content, images, customizable sections, and more, so you can showcase the value you bring to prospective clients. It'll ultimately help you win more jobs, hopefully. Know what you did and when you did it, so you'll never leave money on the table again. FreshBooks makes it easy to bill for time by client and by specific project, and you can keep that all organized. You can assign services to projects and designate different rates for each service. You can put your business on autopilot from payment reminders to late fees. You can automate as much or as little as you'd like to, so that you can get back to doing what you love. Anytime you're spending all of your time and attention focused on these little things, it pulls you away from the stuff that's most important. FreshBooks lets you get back to that. With FreshBooks app, you can stay connected to your clients and keep tabs on your business no matter where you are. Make 2018 your most productive year yet. Try FreshBooks free for 30 days. Visit FreshBooks.com/AAA. Don't forget to enter All About Android in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's FreshBooks.com/AAA. And we thank FreshBooks for their support of All About Android. All right, so we got a bunch of emails, so let's rattle through these, and we can hopefully answer some questions from all of you that watch the show. AAA@twit.tv, if you ever want to send us your feedback, we will throw it on the show if we have the space for it, like Hiram did. Hiram says, I'm looking for a good 5-inch phone for my wife, who likes the smaller phone size. I've been considering the Samsung Galaxy S7 because of its size and good reviews. However, it is an older phone. Is it still a good buy, or should I be looking elsewhere? I've also recently thought about the Huawei P10 phone, which is a similar size but a bit newer. It's also a bit cheaper. She would like a decent camera and an all-around decent phone. I would appreciate any suggestions or ideas. I think, I'm sure Mateo probably has some thoughts on the Huawei P10. From what I understand about the P10, that would be a great option. 5.1-inch display, good camera, good battery. It doesn't support Verizon or Sprint, so that's important if you're here in the U.S. But that's a good option, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention, there's the Motorola. Huawei P10. Yeah, the Moto G Plus is another good one. That's a more affordable one, and you played around with that one, right?
Yeah, but I was going to say, why not just get her a GS8? It's small enough if you wanted to get her a flagship of a GS7.
Yeah.
Because the GS7 is so... It's actually, I think the GS8 is a tiny bit slimmer.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels smaller. For me, that feels like a small phone. Yeah, I don't really mind it.
And you don't have to get the Plus. And also the Google Plus, or the Google Pixel 2, the Google Plus phone. The Google Pixel
Jason
2.
Wishes.
Yes. Which is a 5-inch display, awesome camera.
Yeah.
About as good as you can possibly get.
The best.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Mateo? We've rattled off a couple. I'm sure you have some.
Yeah. So I agree that if Hiram's in the US, I'd say the S8 is a jump up in price compared to the S7.
Yeah.
But it's still a good phone, and it's much newer. Therefore, it's more likely to get software updates, security patches going forward. If the S8's out of your budget, I'd say the Huawei P10 is a very good option, especially now that it's coming up to being 1 year old. You'll get some good deals on it as an unlocked SIM-free device. But if that's what you're after, you might also want to consider the Honor 9, which is essentially a Huawei P10 in a shiny blue glass body. So that's another option, and there are lots in the market, but depending on the network you're on, that may restrict you. If you're willing to import a device from China, for example, the Xiaomi Mi 6 is a great device as well. I have one. I use one on a daily basis. It even has an infrared blaster, so you can use it to turn televisions, air conditioning units, and blinds on and off and manipulate them. So it's the 5-inch phone market isn't as popular as it used to be. We're moving towards bigger devices, but there's still a lot of very good options out there. Mm-hmm. It depends on budget and how long you're looking to have software updates for. I'd say the Xiaomi Mi 6 is probably the best option in terms of longevity of security and software updates.
And if you're here in the U.S. and you get her the Xiaomi Mi 6, anytime someone sees it, someone's going to go, like, what phone is that? I've never seen that one before. It will stand out. It won't look like everything else.
And then Hugo Barra will appear.
Yes. Hi. Hi, Hiram. I'm Hugo Barra.
That's a really good impression, actually.
I can imagine Hugo Barra saying, do you have a moment to speak about these wonderful new Facebook projects?
Yes.
Well, didn't they announce they were Oculus and Xiaomi were... that was a thing they announced at CES that like nobody talked about.
Oh, Oculus Go.
Yes.
Built by Xiaomi.
Yes.
That's right. Well, yeah, isn't that weird?
I just think of Hugo Barra as like the eternal shadow that is just around Xiaomi because
Yeah, it's true. Do you ever think he has regrets? No, probably not.
No, he just brought them. Hello, he just got him a great deal.
No, do you ever think he's like, oh man, I wish I was still with Xiaomi?
No, because he's still getting them in deals.
Okay, all right.
They're fine.
That's how he keeps.
Yeah,
his foot
that's
in the door.
That's a good.
That way,
a good relationship.
If Facebook
there.
Ever tanks, he knows he can go back to Xiaomi.
It's not tanking.
All right, you got the next email.
I just want to tap in my 2 cents worth on a topic that's come up a couple of times over the last few weeks. Some have voiced concerns about using Android Pay or Tap to Pay at retailers. I'm a Canadian privacy lawyer, and I've seen a lot of retail and point of sales breaches, including Target, TJX, and Home Depot. I don't know what TJX is, Canada. Perhaps someone can enlighten me. Your listeners should know that using Android Pay is much safer than using an actual payment card when shopping. With Android Pay, your card number is never transferred to the merchant. Instead, the system creates a one-time token that represents your card information. Tokenization!
That's right.
Yes. It can't be reused. If someone manages to hack into the retailer system, they can't get any info that can be used to access any of your accounts. For this reason, as a security-conscious privacy lawyer, I use Android Pay everywhere that offers the feature keep your cards in your pocket and use your phone. P.S. Apple Pay uses the same model from David. And, you know, I have to say, do you know how many times I've tried to explain this tokenization to people only to have them just be like,
huh? Oh,
fall
sorry,
asleep on just, me. Like, what are you talking about? Because I would I have to like always people see me, you know, my friends see me use it and they go, oh, you use Apple Pay. I'm like, no, this is Android Pay.
This is safe?
Yes, it uses tokenization. And they're like, what? But it is a great thing to know. And I've actually had conversations with employees at my favorite drugstores about these things because we always talk about the chip reader and how it's supposed to be safer. But I'm always sitting at the station waiting 5 minutes for my bank to say it's okay to take the money out of my account so that I can buy this 3-pack of chapstick. It is way faster to do with Android Pay. And now we know. From Dave, the Canadian privacy security lawyer in Canada, it is safer.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
man, anytime I try though, I mess it up, and okay,
really? I use mine for everything.
Like, I try it, and it just doesn't work, and then I get frustrated really quickly.
I use mine at Costco. I put my Costco card.
You've heard
in
me
there.
Talk about it before.
My membership cards. I get my Starbucks that way.
I don't know what's wrong with me. The mobile payments and me just don't work. You know, I'm doing the Switch, so I have the iPhone here.
The that's Switch kind that of, will not be referred to.
I'll refer to it right now, and then I'll stop. So I have Apple Pay set up on here, and I was legitimately at the store thinking that I didn't have my wallet with me and that I could finally use Apple Pay, and I tried to do it, and it didn't work. I'm like, what is wrong with me?
Is
apparently,
it possible
I'm just
you
really
don't
bad at this.
Know where the coil is, because I usually go like hover, hover, hover until something vibrates. Mm-hmm. I just go, please work, please Maybe. Work, please work. I do the please work dance every time I take out my phone. I do still do that.
Yeah.
I hate the uncertainty of not knowing whether it's going to actually work, and then I'm going to need to still find my credit card.
You could ask for an IOU. It's a small town. That's what I do.
I'm not sure that would work.
My small town. I have a lot of tabs going around the town I'm from.
Yeah. I don't know. Not part of my habit. Is it part of your routine, Mateo?
It is. I use Android Pay on one of my main devices that seldom changes. So at the moment, the SIM cards and the phone number that I've associated with various accounts, but also with Android Pay, is my BlackBerry Key One, which is still a great device.
Everybody has one of those.
Great battery life.
That's right.
So I use this especially when traveling, and Android Pay is very secure, seems to work everywhere. So when I go to places like London, I can use it on the tube or the underground. Even here in Singapore, I can use it in stores, on the MRT, public transit. It's a great way of paying for things, but being safe in the knowledge that your card details aren't actually getting out there. Also, depending on what card or payment service you associate with Android Pay, you might also be able to avoid incurring foreign transaction fees, depending on who your card provider or banking provider tied to it is.
That's true.
It's a pro tip right there.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I'm saving like $5 on every... By the way, why am I getting paid Anyway, why am I getting charged $5? It's another story.
The other thing I've been using a lot while traveling is, while it's not an Android Pay specific service, is a UK service called Monzo. It's an internet-based bank. They don't have any branches. They provide you with a bank account and a debit card. But it has a very good app with real-time updates. Anytime you make a transaction or someone pre-approves a transaction, you get a notification on your phone. And I found this particularly useful in Indonesia last weekend. We flew into Bali Airport, and whilst I was at the cash machine, I couldn't understand why it wouldn't let me take money out. And then I realized that I was getting notifications on my phone. I checked, and within the app, it allowed me to enable Magstrip transactions. By default, this was off to protect my card details. So I enabled it for the time it took me to take cash out from the ATM, and then disabled it straight away. Hmm. And I think that's another way of doing things. There are internet-first banks that are starting up. The fintech sector is very exciting at the moment. And Monzo has a great app with good material design that I enjoy using. It's a functional and beautiful mobile experience.
Does it work in the U.S.? People are asking in the chat room.
So you won't be able to set up a UK bank account unless you're resident in the UK, but they are still a startup, so they're looking to expand at some point. So you never know. I'm not sure what banking regulation is like in the US, but hopefully you'll either get Monzo itself or a similar service soon.
I had never heard of Monzo before. Good tips there. Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to our discussion on PayPal, where like I realize more and more why I really should be doing that. But I don't know. Fear that it's not going
to
work.
Just to round it off here, two things. Two-factor?
Yeah.
Tokenization. Boom. Go out and enjoy yourselves. Be safe.
And if you have $20 a month to dedicate to your Oreo cookie habit, you might appreciate what Jeffrey sent us. He says, Amazon and Nabisco have gotten together just for All About Android, it seems. Check this out. And apparently on Amazon, you can subscribe to the Oreo Cookie Club subscription box, Oreo of the Month gift. 3-month subscription is right around $60, so about $20 a month. And every month you end up getting a gift box with two Oreo flavors, one of a kind Oreo inspired gift,
a recipe card.
A recipe card.
And this artistically designed Oreo gifting box.
Oh, so like how to crush them up, like how they arrive from Amazon, apparently. And yeah. How to bake with them. Hey. Just a reminder, this is how our Oreo showed up from Amazon. We're on the subject of Amazon.
I got my Oreo Cookie Club Oreo. Oh,
they're all smashed.
Oh, man. Good thing they gave me a recipe that involves crushing them up into pieces.
Lemon meringue Oreo cookie pie. Actually, that sounds delicious.
So it's crushed Oreos a service.
Yes.
They're pre-crushing them for you. C-O-A-A-S.
Yes. Crushed Oreo as a service. Exactly. Man, we could make a fortune. Amazon already is. Go figure. All right, Flo, you got the next one.
Yes. This one's from Dane. I got a Xiaomi Mi A1 for about $230 about a week ago, and I must say, this phone is incredible. This past year, I have used a Pixel 2, Pixel 2 XL, Galaxy S8 Plus, iPhone 7 Plus, and a OnePlus 5T, and I must say, this phone is just as capable as any of those in day-to-day tasks. The camera is very impressive. The portrait mode does a better job of the blur than most options out there. With it running Oreo already, with the update, security updates, this thing is pretty incredible. They didn't actually write that, by the way. I'm making that incredible stuff up.
Artist interpretation.
I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and have great service and speeds with T-Mobile. For anyone looking for a great phone for unbelievable price, this is it. I hope one of you guys are able to give it a try sometime. Thank you for keeping me company while I drive, mow the lawn, and wash the dishes. Thank you, Dane.
Anytime. Anytime. And he did attach a couple of examples.
Yes, a couple sample shots.
Of the...
Oh, what a beautiful pup!
Oh, that is a cute doggy. But yeah, it's a good looking dual camera shot there, I'm assuming, anyways.
I love the dual cameras on the Honor and Huawei phones. They really... I used to be a non-believer of... Huawei having like one of the best.
Hey, Mateo.
Oh, look, it's Mateo for you.
It's a goat. Well done. Thank you very much.
Look at the detail on that goat.
Hey, Mateo, Dane's got your goat.
Well, it's obviously floating my goat. We've started off on the right hoof. But yes, the Xiaomi A1 camera is a very good camera. I got to play about with
We were talking about Xiaomi. I said Huawei. Sorry, everyone.
Oh, sorry.
It wasn't on the same track mind as everyone.
But yes, the Xiaomi A1 is a great device. I got to play around with it in the Xiaomi store here in Singapore. And from what the staff in the store tell me, it's still selling very well, despite not being the newest device out here in Asia. So, good value device. I'd say the only thing, it doesn't have NFC, which might be a blocker if you're wanting to use it for Android Pay, but amazing value and good camera.
Nice.
Amazing shots of puppies and goats.
Yeah. If you want your goat photos to look that good, I think that you know the phone you have to go for, and that's the Xiaomi Mi A1.
No kidding.
Finally, Jerry wrote in to say, longtime listener, first time emailer, we just decided to turn on the cellular on our 11-year-old daughter's Galaxy Note 5. However, she has been a data burning demon, and I was wondering if there was a way to limit apps to only use Wi-Fi as opposed to cellular. I want her to be able to use specific apps, but want to limit them to work on Wi-Fi only, and then some to work on both cellular and Wi-Fi. Any help would be greatly appreciated.
She's my spirit animal, by the way.
She's your goat.
Yeah, she's my goat.
Okay, so we talked a little bit earlier about Data Saver. So I'll explain that, and then I'll explain why that's not exactly what you're looking for. Stock Android 7.0 and above, and I think you would find this, I'm assuming, on the Note 5, or you might find something very similar to it. I did some poking around. I think I saw that it referenced there. Has an option called Data Saver. If you go to Settings, Network, Data Usage, Data Saver, and then activate that. That will allow you to go in on a per app basis and turn off background data
updating for any app that you so choose. So if you want to save the amount of data that's channeling, like some social media networks are really thirsty for background data. They want to be updating all the time.
Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram, Twitter. You can go in there and turn that off so that that background data on your cellular connection won't happen. It'll only happen when you're connected to Wi-Fi. So that cuts things down. But that's not entirely what you're looking for. You're looking to totally control all data of a particular app only passes through Wi-Fi and not data connection. And the app that I found that does this is an app called NetGuard. And then once I found it, I was like, well, dang it. Now it's going into the show. So it's it's kind of out of the running for the arena because it looks to be exactly what you're looking for. I've got it installed here at...
That's really legitimate.
Yeah, well, and yes, and Ting, a sponsor on the Twit Network in the past, recommends it as well. And basically, it lists all the apps that you have and allows you to activate or deactivate both the Wi-Fi and the mobile data aspects of those apps. So I've turned YouTube off on the mobile data aspect. So if I'm not connected... Theoretically, I really should have tested this. I didn't have time to, but it would prohibit YouTube from passing any data through the mobile network if that's all I'm connected to. I'm connected to Wi-Fi. It would make sure that it routes through there. So you can go through here on a bit-by-bit basis, app-by-app basis, and select it however you so choose. Tailor it to what you want. And I think that might actually do the trick for what you're looking for, Jerry, and I hope that helps you out. And I'm sure there's a way to pay for pro features. Let's see here. If you have pro, new app notifications, filter network traffic, view blocked traffic log. Okay, so it does a little bit of extra kind of analysis and logging of what's happening, what's the activity that's actually being blocked while it's running. So, and how much is that? That's looking to be $249. $2.49 to get the pro features. So there you go. That is NetGuard. And I hope that works out for you. Let us know.
And I will say that's a lot easier than just going into like the Samsung data saver settings and setting all that up individually.
Yeah.
That is way more consumer friendly. I should say parent friendly, so that you know exactly.
Yeah.
It's a nice visual readout of what is passing through.
Yeah, I feel like Data Saver is kind of like on your... It's not quite what you're looking for, but it might be good.
It's more of like a personal...
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's more like for you.
For you,
like,
not for your kid.
You know that you want to save, save on your data.
I use Data Saver when I'm out of the house because when I'm on transit, I don't want everything to load all the time.
Yeah.
So I'd rather just keep it easy.
Keep it home.
Data don't come cheap. After all.
Ain't that the truth? All right, we're going to take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode, and then we'll jump into the arena and show off a few apps. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. The mortgage experience, if you've ever gone through the process, you know there's tons of hoops, tons of ladders, tons of slides. This is not a board game. Sorry to make it sound like it's all fun and games. It's usually not. You have to go through a whole lot of processes and pull information from all sorts of places in order to make it happen. And it was dated. It really just needed someone to come in and give it a new approach, a client-focused technological approach. And that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence that you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's super simple. It allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. It's also very powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds based on your income, your assets, your credit. Rocket Mortgage takes all that information and can analyze the home loan options for which you qualify and then find the one that's just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/android. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states, NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of All About Android. And now, it's time to crush some Oreos in the arena.
Amazon will do it for us.
Amazon wins the arena.
But only one lives. Android Arena.
They didn't even have an app. They just had a box of Oreos.
Like, I do wonder how they ship them to you, because I got a shipment of shampoo last night and everything was taped and in their own individual bags in case they spilled.
Because I'm pretty certain, I didn't keep track, but when I went on the Oreo Amazon shopping spree a few weeks back, there were a lot of flavors that were fulfilled direct from Amazon.
And there this were is other a third party
that
seller.
Were fulfilled through third
so then
party
perhaps
sellers.
I'm speaking out of line here.
Honestly, I could probably go into my Amazon console and tell them that these were crushed to bits and they would give me a refund. Because I don't know if anyone saw it on my Twitter feed a couple of weeks ago. I literally did get one of these in the mail. And when I opened it up from the package, it was like this inside the package, as if someone had actually opened it up.
And then you don't want to eat it. It's unappetizing.
Well, no one's going to eat that. I mean, it was open. Like, the safety precautions were done. Like, you wouldn't have known that someone, like, how did that end up in the bag? It was literally like this. And they went, all right, time to send this out.
Today on All About Flo and Jason's gripes about shipping.
Yes, sorry.
No, it's my fault.
Oh, that's
I brought
right,
it up.
The arena.
The arena.
All right, this was a blowout this week, ladies and gentlemen.
Was
Proton
it?
VPN. 59% of the votes went to Proton VPN. That was Ron's app.
Dang, Ron, going strong, and now he's gone.
Congratulations to Ron. String IO and Headspace tied for 14%. So I guess that puts, let's see here. And then Kodak Pro was barely behind at 13%.
Wait, no. Kodak and Headspace, 13, no? Oh, you're right, 14.
Wait a minute. I'm seeing different things that what's up there.
In front of us?
They're changing. Doesn't
Stop
matter.
Voting.
Whatever.
I'm just kidding.
There we go. Oh, I see. Okay, so anyway, Stream.io
so
and Headspace.
Is what we're coming to the conclusion we've come to here, which is fine. It's just the beginning of the year.
Yeah, you know, no big deal. Wade County in the chat room does have some details that I can share. Thank you, Wade County, by the way, for doing that. This week is through week three. Ron is at 10. I am at 9. Guest is at 7. And Flo, you are at 3.
I was gone.
You were gone, right. And Ron's gone this week. And I don't know when I'm going to be gone, but someday.
Someday.
So, yeah. So there you go. All right. So you would go first then, Flo.
All right. Well, I am sure that everyone out there is not thinking about being outside right now because the weather is probably horrid where you're at. But here in California,
it's balmy.
It is balmy. but put on a few layers, and you know, I haven't really been too enthused with going to the gym. Or really practicing indoor. I've just been very interested in being outside. So I downloaded ViewRanger, which is it starts out as a free app, but basically what it does is it helps you find places to go for a slight hike. I'm going to actually turn down the brightness on this because this seems to be a little too bright. So what we have here is I'm zooming in on where we are here in Petaluma. What you see, this big black line right here, is actually, those of you may have heard, for those of you map heads like me, it's the Smart Train route, which is the new little train that goes between Marin County and Sonoma County. That's just one of the layers of maps that you can show on ViewRanger. There's also the ability to download custom offline areas. So if you're going somewhere that's maybe rural, you can pinpoint that in and download it. You know, maybe you're going camping for the weekend or something of the sort. You can choose. So the map I was on was the transport map. That was the one that was showing me all the bus lines and the trains and such. But the open cycle map is the one that we go into to see what trails there are around us that we could walk on and go get some exercise, maybe go find some goats. There's a lot of goats in Petaluma. There's a lot of grass to eat, to mow here. And as you zoom in, you'll have all the same. So the only reason this is hard to show here is because I don't know what is... All right. Sorry, everyone. I don't know what is available here in Petaluma. I only know what is available near where I live. So the demo, here we go. So if you zoom in here, you'll see this purple line. This purple mountain majesty. This is a trail. This is a trail. There's a bike trail over here.
Oh, cool.
That here's a little bike spot. As this loads, is a little. It shows you a little bike sport spot where you can go if you need to maybe get your bike fixed up. Here's a little coffee shop. It shows there's Pete's Coffee and Tea. You know, I imagine you would be using Google Maps anyway in addition to this, just to kind of like find out where you're at. But for trails, like if you're trying to plan out your route before you go somewhere, that's not a thing that I can find with Google Maps. And the nice thing about this, by the way, is it's also usable on the web. So if you decide that you want to pay for packs and things of the sort. So here we are nearby. We've got Marin County nearby. That's a hard trail. We're not doing that. This is, we're not, okay, curated for me. Here are routes that they think that I will love. Let's see if there's anything easy here. Oh, look, a nice, easy hike. We're going to pick that one. It has to be load. Loading. Loading. Loading.
Loading.
As we load, I am supposed to be talking about ViewRanger and how they have worldwide maps, street maps, aerial and satellite images, terrain maps.
Can anyone submit to these? Like put their own stuff in there?
I actually, the network is unreachable because that's been happening a lot to me lately. This isn't an app thing. This has been happening a lot with my phone lately. Yeah, wow. I don't.
Well, that's a bummer. So you would tap into there and it would show you different layers, different maps.
Yeah, so I can go different layers, different maps. You start out with the tab to go find routes that you want to go on. You would just pick a route. I don't understand why my phone isn't doing its thing. On the maps, you'll actually see like the trails, the bike loops that you can take. So I think that purple one is a bike loop, and this is a trail that you would do on foot. Like this little dotted line, which I'm assuming goes up a hill, considering there's a lot of hills where this is pointing me right now, which is very helpful. There's also a little community that you can tap in if you want to. I don't use that part of it. I mostly just use this to search for routes. You know, if I'm feeling like in my hometown, it'll show me the little Bay Trail that's like a mile and a half. So then I'll just kind of use that for my own, just for my own edification, just to know what's around. So it's ViewRanger. Oh, and the cool thing about this, and I'm wondering if it'll work in here. Probably not. But there is an augmented reality aspect of this, if I recall. Yep. It's called the Skyline feature, and you can pan the landscape with your camera to show you the peaks, places, lakes, like anything you might be looking at. Oh, cool. So it kind of like shows you. I wish I could show you what it looks like on here, but in a studio it's not going to work. Also, there's Android Wear integration. So if you're navigating trails, maybe you've got one of those neat Garmin watches, or you've got one of those sport watches, Android Wear watches, you can use this on your watch. You can record your tracks so that you can kind of figure out like the route that you took. I wish I could show this all to you. I don't know what's going on with my phone, and I apologize. It also works for the Casio ProTrack smartwatch. That's something that they advertise just so people know. Lets you see your latitude, longitude, your altitude data, all that stuff. So this is a good app, and you can pay for it. There are different tiers that you can pay for. You can pay for maps per region. You could pay for unlocking all the U.S. maps, which is like $8. Or you can just kind of go around and see what's free. I've been doing fine with just the free tier. But I'm not like I'm not a super serious hiker. I'm a very like, I live in California. I should take advantage of the fact that I live here hiker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. No, totally.
So it's very much a like once every month or 2 months sort of thing. But it's nice to have, I uninstall and reinstall this app as I need it. Like as where I am at. And I appreciate it. Nice. It's a helpful little app.
That's cool. ViewRanger.
ViewRanger.
Now get out there and do some hiking.
You don't have to even hike. You could just go for a nice little like nature stroll. You do not have to hike.
Cousin Ajah says, if I like the outdoors, this would be awesome.
I mean, I'm technically a homebody, but like I said, you live here, you pay the tax, you might as well.
You might as well enjoy it. Enjoy yourself. Treat yourself to the nature that surrounds you. That is ViewRanger. Excellent pick. All right, Mateo, I have your app installed. I'll go ahead and show it off if you want to talk about it.
Excellent. So I'm picking an app that I believe has been in the app arena before it the service and app was purchased by Microsoft and is now called the Microsoft Launcher. So this is an Android launcher which replaces your phone's pre-installed one or the one you've been using recently. And I've been enjoying using this on some devices, particularly on my BlackBerry and the Huawei View 10. So it's fairly straightforward. You have an app drawer. It's very customizable in terms of themes and colors. What I like about it is that before the app drawer, you have a little swipe up from the dock at the bottom, which will give you more than just your dock. It will give you a few shortcuts to frequently used apps and to some other little services. So it's an extra toggle option for quick settings, as well as to more apps in the dock. And you can access that from any home screen. And then the app drawer is nicely organized. You can decide how big or small the icons are, how they're sorted. It's just a generally pleasant launcher to use. And one of the standout features to me is also the fact that it uses Bing wallpapers. Microsoft, with Bing, their search engine on desktop, are very good at choosing some beautiful photography for their desktop backgrounds. And you get to get similar images or the same images through the Bing wallpaper picker for this launcher. And you get to also to, if you want to refresh your desktop background, there's just a quick button. I believe it's the colored one there, which will automatically refresh it to another Bing wallpaper image. So once with the Honor View 10, I do manage to get into this full-time job of desktop and wallpaper photographer. Hopefully you'll see my images in there as well. So it's very functional, very lightweight. I've used this launcher on some of the less powerful MediaTek-powered devices from China, and it's a very good replacement to those slightly less functional launchers that come with it. Obviously, it's a Microsoft product. The tie-in to Microsoft accounts is very strong. So if you log in with a Hotmail or Live account, or Outlook account, you will then also get slightly richer notifications. It will link out to either Chrome or Microsoft Edge for Bing search. If you prefer not to use Bing as your search engine, you can also change that as well. Whether you choose to go with Yahoo, Baidu, or Google, it's up to you. But I have to say, I've been enjoying using this, and when it came to this week to choose an app for the arena, I thought it would be good to give them some recognition because I find it a good launcher. Nice. So it's free in the Google Play Store. Some say this may be the gateway to, or product market test to see how it performs in the Android ecosystem, and maybe is the sign of things to come from Microsoft. They have a full Office suite. They have a very good email client. They now have a launcher. Who knows? Maybe we'll see a Microsoft Android distribution at some point in the future.
Yeah, you can really see where their head would be at if that were the case. Right on. Excellent. That's Microsoft Launcher. Now I need to remove Microsoft Launcher because I have to get back to my other launcher because that's where my app is installed into, I'm realizing. Well, I'll just go default home launcher, go OnePlus launcher, and here we are back
Android.
Home.
Oh, Android. The joys of Android. No,
we're back home. All right.
By the way.
Yeah.
Can I just say, before you get into your app?
You can.
I was totally going to bring this app.
Yeah.
When I saw that you picked it this morning. And it's totally because we totally read the same feeds.
I know we all do.
We all read the same feeds. And I'm like, I need to claim this. And then Jason claimed it already.
I saw it last night. I was like, I'm claiming it now. It was last night or the night before. Anyways, the app I have is called Skyline. And it is a live wallpaper app for the most part. We'll go ahead and jump right into it. And so Skyline Live Wallpaper, it's $1.99. Basically what it does is it
looks for your location, your geographical location, and then downloads 3D satellite imagery to match where you happen to be and creates a live wallpaper around it. It's early days, so there are some parts of it that are a little jumpy. Obviously, I'm scrolling around here to try and find something that looks pretty based on around the area that I'm at right now. I'll go ahead and set this as my wallpaper. You can kind of see it's the 3D version. I think it's pulling from Google Maps. It's pulling the 3D information from Google Maps. So there's a very, very slight parallax view when you tilt around. Oh, I almost wish it was a little bit more because it's almost so subtle that you hardly notice it. But what I've noticed looking at it earlier today is that when you do that, it's not just shifting a flat image around. It's actually changing the view, the direction, looking into this three-dimensional image. So certain things suddenly get blocked depending on how you move it. So it's actually way more dynamic, and I feel like they would be it would be better for this app if they gave you the ability to kind of tweak the amount of parallax shift that happens, because once you notice that, you end up realizing like it's doing a lot more than you probably give it credit for when you're doing the parallax and it's kind of shifting that view. It's actually really cool. But anyways, I think their plan longer term is to have some sort of like a live feed of your location of some sort. I feel like I read that somewhere where potentially it could, you know, ping on a regular occasion and pull information, you know, pull a new background based on where you are now versus where you were then. Right now, you kind of have to go in specifically, and you can also go in here and actually search a location like Singapore. We'll go with that. Go ahead. I don't know why I'm picking Singapore. Just M.
Just so happens.
For no
pure coincidence.
Pure coincidence. You can see live tracking in there, and if you try it, coming soon. Skyline Presents coming soon. Anyways, we'll go ahead and go in here. Yeah, are those buildings? Those clouds? Those are clouds. Anyways, this, I don't know where we are in Singapore, but we're somewhere. I could even zoom in.
So I want to see what it looks like for Petaluma because...
okay.
Because I'm very curious to see what it...
From Singapore to Petaluma, we're traveling all over the world.
I'll be stopping in a few places in between, but yes, that's my itinerary.
I was about to say, it sounds like Mateo's trajectory, future trajectory.
There's Petaluma.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's East Petaluma. That's West Petaluma.
I never even saw Petaluma from aerial view. I don't even know what it looks like. I was just curious if it'd be like, you know.
Can you see the Lagunitas Brewery from there?
Well, that's probably that giant building.
Let's see here. That would be over here somewhere.
There's a soundstage and...
yeah, where is... Now we're touring Petaluma. Join us, why don't you? Somewhere over there.
I mean, you think by now the Petaluma Tourism Board would...
Let's see here. Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Come on to Twitter.
I don't know. Now I feel like I really need to do this, but... I'm not going to because I'm
sorry to all of our audio listeners. This is the worst audio show we have given you in a long time. And if you've stuck around this long without cursing us, we really appreciate it. And I promise that we will be more cognizant.
We'll
next
try.
Week.
We'll always do our best. But hey, we have good days and bad days. Anyways, it's a good live wallpaper app. It kind of pulls in, you know, this map information. I think I imagine as you get zoomed in further, you start to see a little bit more of the effect. And you know,
I was about
you really
to
get in there.
Well, I was
going to
ask. I mean, are you looking at like your house? Because that's a little creepy. I don't know.
No, that's not right now. I'm not looking at my house right now. Maybe I will when I get home switch this to my house so that, you know, I can take it all in. Not only am I living there, I'm looking at it every time I look at this phone.
A reminder of all the hard work.
Yes, exactly. And money that I keep dumping into that place. Skyline, $1.99. It's a live wallpaper app, and it's a cool idea. I like it a lot.
It's
very dynamic.
And
looking.
Clearly it's had some traction yes. in the Android blogosphere.
Yep, exactly. So. That's how it works. That's how it works. Place your vote for your favorite app this week. Is it ViewRanger, Microsoft Launcher, or Skyline? Go to twit.to/AAApoll 353, 353 episodes, twit.to/AAApoll 353, and place your vote. We'll check on it next week. Victor has the all-important vote to cast, however, if Victor knows it could be Microsoft Launcher.
Yeah, it's because of the beautiful interface. I mean, that was a nice interface, I have to say.
I do like scenic wallpapers.
Yeah.
Bing wallpapers are great, especially really for the desktop.
Yeah, Bing's good for that stuff. And our soon-to-be Bing wallpaper submitting photographer
it's
slash
true.
Artist.
It's true. You should get some royalties, man.
Yeah, make it happen, Mateo.
Great. I will do it. It's a lifetime goal.
It's a 20% project.
It's either that or I can be a goat breeder in Petaluma.
Well, you could. The great thing is you could do all of the above.
I would love if you were. Exactly. Anyway, we'll talk about that off the air.
Go wallpapers.
Mateo, coolsmartphone.com. Mateo, it's always great getting you on. Where do you want? What do you want to leave people with? What should they know about you right now?
Well, so I'm still writing for coolsmartphone.com, but I'm writing less. Some of the people who already follow me may have noticed that I'm doing a bit more video content. So I'm working with my friend and colleague, Lukasz, who is a very good cameraman, very good editor, and we've done some video reviews such as the Honor 7X one as a video review rather than a written one. So it will be on Cool Smartphone soon, but the core content will be video. So we're just trying this video craze out, just as YouTube switch off the partner feature for a lot of users, such as myself. But it's just an interesting experiment to see how it goes. So yes, coolsmartphone.com, the main place. You can follow me on Twitter at Todaleo. And if you can find my YouTube channel, feel free to subscribe.
Right on, if you can find it.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes, if you can find it.
I need to work on that discoverability thing.
Do a search for Matteo Doni. You'll probably find his channel.
Cool Smartphone.
Or follow Cool Smartphone as well.
Or Cool Smartphone.
They have, we have our own channel. We haven't defined how we're going to be uploading content there as well.
Right on.
But that's something that we'll cross when we have time.
Yeah. Understood. Well, thank you, Mateo. And yeah, we won't have to wait much longer. We'll see you in another month. I love this. I love having you.
I feel
on.
Like thank we
you.
Should probably go visit Mateo soon because he's been visiting us a lot.
I know. He flies all the way across the world just to come here and be on the show.
Yeah,
we're the reason he comes out here and then he goes back home.
We're bad.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes.
The fact that The Twit studio is in one of the most scenic and beautiful parts of the USA, and it also happens to have very good breweries, wineries, and foods.
And goats.
Is pure coincidence. I fly specifically for All About Android.
That's what I like to hear. Keep telling me that. Thank you, Mateo. Always a pleasure.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. Flo, what's what you got going on?
I'm trying right now not to sneeze through this because I was getting the tickle in my nose, and that never happens to me on air, so that's weird.
It's the worst.
Sorry about that.
You didn't, so there's nothing to be sorry about.
Right now, I'm doing a lot of review stuff. I've got a couple new RoboVacs I'm testing out,
nice.
Which has been fun again. I just love not cleaning my house. It's great. it really is. I'm into that feature. Just for now, follow me at florenceion.com. There is a huge update coming to my website very soon. I am working on it behind the scenes. Because Ron kind of was like, "Woman, what are you doing? All these CMSs exist. Like, you need to just choose one." So he was right.
We're not seeing anything yet, but
new yet, but I had promised that a big update would be coming and I'm working on that. Until then, I could really use your help, which, like, tell me what you're interested in. Like, what would you, what would you like to talk about?
Okay.
Talk to me. You know how to find me on the internet.
Because she's there.
I mean, I am there. I'm almost there. You know how to find me. Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram.
You
don't
know how to find me.
Find me on Facebook. I am not on Facebook. Stop sending me messages there. It's not happening.
Excellent. All right. At Oh That Flow on Twitter, I think, is probably the best place to go.
Yes, always.
Victor, thank you very much. Appreciate it as always. Appreciate your help, man. And as far as I'm concerned, yellowgoldmusic.com, jasonowl.net. And don't forget, or maybe it's time to remember, it's time for our yearly TWiT survey. And we want to hear from you. Anything you have, anything you want to share. We want to know how you're consuming our content, how you're enjoying it, things you like, things you don't. There's a number of questions there, but really answer the things you're comfortable with. We don't give away the data. We don't sell it. It's none of that stuff. It's really just to inform us as far as how we create content that appeals to you and continue to do so. So head over to twit.tv/survey and be heard. We do this once a year, and it's just incredibly helpful to the coming year and to crafting content that you'll actually like. So thank you for that. twit.tv/survey. But that is it for this week's show. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email, like many people did this week, at AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We have the Arena Apps list. If you go to twit.to/AndroidApps, you can find all the apps that we've ever featured in the Arena. Thanks to the folks that maintain that. Also, show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. You can come watch the show live. We had someone in here for a while watching live. Tickets at twit.tv. Make sure and email us and let us know so that we can put out a chair for you. And you can catch us live on the stream, if that doesn't work, every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
So,
my husband made me go vegan for a year, so I already paid my dues. Let's do this.
So I'm not eating this week's Oreos. Flo will be eating this for me. And I think you got a pretty easy flavor.
Yeah, no, this is...
You got a flavor that's probably going to be a home run, I'm guessing. It's lemon. Lemon Oreos.
Lemon.
And I... Oh, no.
Oh!
Got a little...
There,
got a little crumbled in the package.
Can we do an over-the-shoulder shot? Either me
this is,
or...
This is what you get when you order from Amazon.
This is what you get. They're all just... This is Amazon, how they shipped it to you? Amazon, well, what is this? Is this why you got rid of retail stores, so you could ship us stuff like this?
As I said last week, I went deep ordering on Amazon. So some of this came from Amazon Fulfillment. Some of this came from third-party sellers through Amazon.
This is sad. We're still trying it, though.
Yeah. What?
So is that's the
standard? Oh, look, it doesn't even, like, they're all crumbled. I can't even get, like, a whole one. It's fine.
That's okay. Well, how does it taste?
All right.
And maybe turn Mateo up in the bleed a little bit, just because
I... smells a little bit like a Vegas casino. You know, that faint, like, lemony smell, because, like, they clean it.
I can still smell, even though I can't eat it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the standard variant of the Oreo lemon?
Yes.
Mm. Oh, the lemon is very familiar. I'm just not quite sure what to equip them to.
Yeah.
I want to say, Mateo, they remind me of like a European cookie of a sort. But I'm just not sure. Like something I've eaten like from the airport, the Munich airport or something. Not like something I've bought.
And now I know I've seen yellow Oreos. Are these the same thing? Because I don't...
The white part... Well, I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think the filling is lemon in the normal like white
cream.
Oreos.
It's just cream.
Yeah.
This is good,
so
though.
So this is different.
This is really palatable. I'm going to eat the whole thing.
It's palatable. They should print that print that on the wrapper. Lemon Oreos. They're palatable. You might think they're okay. So what, scale of 1 to 10, what would you give them?
I give these a 7.5.
Okay.
C+, but because of their, because of how they were presented,
I'm a little disappointed.
Burke. That's on Amazon.
Don't want to touch those with your hands. You might as well grab
also,
the package.
Also, today I have lemonade kombucha, so that'll round it off nicely.
Yeah, wash it down.
Can you drink booch still?
I never do, so I'm not missing anything.
There's only 6 grams of sugar in this bottle, so I think you'd be okay.
How much?
6 grams for two servings, or so actually 12 grams okay. if you drink the whole
Maybe
thing.
Maybe I will start. Maybe I'll start.
Well, 12 grams is still quite a bit if you're trying to like keep away
I'm
from
okay.
sugar.
I figure if I'm going to do it, I might as well do it right. There you go. The lemon Oreos are being passed around 7.5. I trust that I would probably give it the same. Cool.
Alex's face is very...
It's like Lysol.
That's why I said they smell like... So Alex said it's like Lysol, and that's why I said they smell like a Vegas casino, because it always smells like they just...
Yes.
Yeah, they smell like lemon. They don't taste like it at all. Anyway, wow. Mateo, you didn't miss on anything. Don't worry. Neither did you, Jason.
Okay, good. So, good. That's what I was hoping for.